open my heart to everybody here. And I'm so thankful just given a chance. I'm not a perfect person to be here after. I won't be and I will never be. You know, it's only God's grace that, you know, make me strong and able to stand up in front of you. And I'm thankful for the church that they've given me encouragement for me to stand up. It's not easy. It is a very challenging, you know, experience actually. But with God's help and God's guidance and the Holy Spirit, we're able to do this. And I know you're backing me up on this one, right? So I thank the church and especially Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for giving me a chance. Okay, let's pray first, and let's continue. Knowing some of the verses that we started a couple of weeks ago. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, oh God, for giving us a chance to know you. I know it's a struggle. It's pain. There's testing all over the place. But I pray, oh God, that we will be Christians in the darkest days of our lives, even though people don't see us, and maybe we be Christians, especially when the people is around us, or that maybe our loved ones, our co-workers, people that we don't know, people that we meet every day. I pray that we will be a light to them. And I know we're not the majority of that. And we are always outnumbered. And I pray that we will be a message to them. And I know it's not easy. We will be challenged. We will be persecuted. We will be questioned. Like, how come we are not doing the things that they do, the thoughts that they think, and the ways that they don't, that they always do, oh God. In fact, sometimes we go around the culture of this generation, oh God. It's so easy to follow those culture, oh God. We can always take the road of least resistance, oh God. But you commanded us to be the salt of the earth. You commanded us to be the light of the earth. You commanded us to be a message, an ambassador for you, oh God. And help us. Please help us, oh God. We need you. We cannot be righteous to this world except for your righteousness, oh God. That's why I pray. Give us strength, oh God. And thank you so much for giving us a chance to know and consider you our Savior. Guide us today, oh God, and continue to challenge our lives and continue serving you, oh God. Thank you so much, my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're on the third part of our our message, Blessed Life Part 3. Actually, those verses in chapter 5 of Matthew, they're all connected, actually. They're all connected, they are, you know, connected in a way that you will understand the whole verse, you know, and make a good message, a good lesson for everybody. Actually, this is a lesson for people who wants to be in this kingdom. He wants to be, you know, who belong to the kingdom life. Because this world, our culture right now is like a Roman Empire. like we rely on accolades, we rely on accomplishment, we rely on trophies of life, you know, we rely on steel, the power of the dollar, the power economically, financially, become stable, become, you know, on a solid footing of economic, what do you call this, interpretation of our culture. But as we go along with our culture, Matthew 5 is teaching the other way around. Remember, blessed are the poor in spirit? You know the word poor, people don't like to hear that word poor. It connotates, you know, weakness and, you know, it's not a good experience to be poor, right? Especially nowadays, you know. But God said, blessed are the poor in spirit. What is he saying to us? And then we say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land or the earth. Nobody wants to be meek sometimes. Because meekness sometimes can be a sign of weakness. Just like we said, maybe a wimpiness. You know, we don't want to be associated with wimpiness and weakness. We want to be associated with strong personality, strong decision, you know, strong and solid ground, something like that. And then blessed are the hunger, who hunger for righteousness. The word hunger, you know, it's not a good thing. To be hungry is not a good thing, you know, especially in our world, especially in our culture. A lot of abundant things in this part of the world, right? A lot of food to eat. A lot of, you know, you can choose. You can choose Italian, Filipino, you can choose American, you know, or anything that you want to eat. You can be full up to the brim. So the word hunger is not a good thing to a lot of people in our culture. You want to be filled up with a lot of, you know, things. But God said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay? I told you a while ago, these words are connected. Christ is telling us kingdom life. You know? Kingdom life. Mean to say, people who wants to be in the kingdom of God, not in the kingdom of the world. And I just remember we had a quotation that we read. Okay, this is the quotation that I conclude last time. He is no fool willing to give up what he cannot keep so that he cannot gain what he cannot lose. When I read those quotations, I was kind of stunned. I couldn't understand what he said. I have to read over and over again. But the thing is, the short explanation is our culture hold on to the things that they cannot keep. And sometimes we are also, what I call is tempted to hold on those things that we cannot keep. And we lose the things that we can keep because we're holding too much on the things that we cannot keep here in this world. We can give a lot of examples, right? Economically, we try to hold on economically. I work in a nursing home, right? I have a resident who died a long time ago. He has a Master of Pharmacy title. You can see it on the room. And a lot of good people visit him because he was a nice person. Good person. See whose accolades, his diploma, he graduated from Syracuse. And people know around, you know, people know him and really, really, you know, care for him. But my experience with him is different. He has a Parkinson's disease. And I see the gradual changes in his life. When he came to that nursing home, he was able to walk, you know, but staggering, but he was able to walk. People, you know. And then a few months After that, he couldn't walk anymore. Completely shaking and couldn't hold on to things, so he started falling and, you know, breaking a hip. And then he started having a problem with eating, because he couldn't swallow because of his disease. He's progressing when you have that disease. So a lot of times he's choking. I can still picture his face trying to swallow and eat and maybe survive as long as he can. But later on, they downgrade his diet. It become like a baby food. They call it puree. I don't know if you would like to eat those kind of food later in your life. It's hard to see this guy who has a lot of accolades in his life, trophies and accomplishments. And looking at him before he died, it's not a good thing to watch. And my message to you this morning is: we keep holding on things that we cannot keep. And Christ today is telling us a kingdom life, you know. A life that will, you know, help us to go to heaven. Help us to go to eternity. Okay? So, let this be a lesson for us. I know we all want to have a good life, and that's good. You know, a stable life. A good family life that you can support your kids when they go to college, when they seek their degree and everything. I go for that, and you know, it's a good thing that we think of it and plan for it and make time with it and, you know, make an effort to work for it, work hard for it. But the thing is, there's more to it than life itself. Okay, that's my challenge to everybody. That's our challenge for us, because God will take all those things away from us, no matter what. Even our lives, our very lives. You know, one day God will take away our lives. But He promised life too, a different life. That's why He's telling us the kingdom life. Because He's taking that life and He's offering another life for everybody. That's why He's telling us. So, with that note, let's not hold on too much, too tight on those lives. And today is another continuation of our study. Is the second one. The next verse is 5-7. And it says on our Bible, if you have your Bibles with you, the verses sounds like this. Alright. Matthew 5. Let me read it. 7. Okay, blessed are the merciful, for they will show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's our verses this morning. They said that when you have sometimes mercy is translated as compassionate. Compassionate means we have an aching heart to help other people. You know? We have a heart to help, you know, a merciful heart. Something like we have compassion to others. You know, you can't sleep, you can't be relaxed, you can't be comfortable until you do something about that person who needs help. You know, that person who needs our attention. That person, our loved ones that needs something like, you know, for us to be there at the time of their, you know, of their desperation. It can either be maybe finances, or it could be either be we'll just be there just to listen. People sometimes just want us to be there in order for them to, you know, to talk about, to speak about something, just to tell us something, and we can be there just silently listening to these people. Or we can be merciful to people who have lost themselves because they cannot find God. You know, we can be merciful to those people and tell them, you know, that they need mercy because we found mercy. You know, when we study the book of the Old Testament, God has been telling the Israel people to be merciful, especially on people who are strangers. And you know why? Because they were strangers too. One time in their life. Do you remember when they were strangers? The Hebrew nation were strangers. Do you know what time of their life when they were strangers? Who remembers? God said, be kind to strangers. When he was talking to the Hebrew nation. Why? What do you think? Brother, do you have an idea?
Yeah, when we first came to the United States, he was playing the piano, I was playing the harmonica for you.
Oh, okay.
We go to the hospital.
Okay.
That's how we were.
Okay. No, I'm asking, thank you, brother. I'm talking about the Hebrew nation. God said, be merciful to strangers. You think why? You know why is the reason why? Why he told us to, over and over again, he keep repeating them to the Hebrew nation, be kind to strangers. You know why? You remember Egypt? Remember Egypt? What happened to the Egyptian? They were there, right? The Hebrew nation were in a strange land. They were strangers in
Egypt.
They were there. And they were in bondage. They were slaves in there. You know? That's why God told them, be kind to strangers. Because themselves are strangers. And mercy. And God said, blessed are the merciful because they will show mercy. Do you think God showed us mercy? Yes. It's only in the mercy of God, actually, we can go by day by day. Without the mercy of God, we're nothing. Without God's mercy, we're nothing. That's why God reminded us to be merciful. Because God showed His mercy for us. And we should show mercy to other people because God had shown us mercy too. Right? Every day we need compassion. Every day we need mercy from God. And we should ache for people who need mercy. We should have mercy in this broken world. Because people need mercy. We just come out of that door and we can see people who are aching. Who's desperately need for mercy. And one day in our lives, we were there walking on the road, having their shoes, because we are sinners and we are sinful, and God showed His mercy. God has shown His mercy for me, actually. I can still picture who I am long, long time ago. Hopeless, helpless, and I don't know where to go. But God showed His mercy. And I know for sure all of us on the same boat. Maybe we will not recognize it right now, but mind you, look at you. Without the righteousness of God. That's why we're mourning. Just like the verse said, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who feel sorry about themselves because they cannot save themselves. They need God in their life. No? And we should be merciful to them. In small ways, in small steps, we can show people mercy. Maybe in your workplace. Sometimes we smile, we greet people good morning, and you can see the difference, right? You see people at work, they have different faces. I mean, when I go to work, we haven't started work, a lot of people are complaining already. Come on. A lot of people are, you know, they cannot even, their faces are gloomy, or you see the desperation, you see the problem, you know? You go to work, you know what I'm saying. You know that sometimes people go to work, you know, without even, they don't know what to focus or something. I know for sure a lot of people are having heavy hearts, a lot of people having financial problem, a lot of people having family problem, a lot of people have maybe problem with alcohol, drugs and everything. They don't know what's what at stake right now. And we're there. Small things. Small act of mercy. Let's greet them. Let's show them kindness. Let's smile at them and say good morning. Right now, they're in my subject. They're emphasizing on how we greet visitors, how we greet people that visit nursing home. They always smile. Put a good smile. You know, and it do helps. Think that? Yes. Because we were in the same boat one time, and God showed His mercy. God said, I will give you mercy. I will show you mercy. I will save you. I will give you, I will alleviate what you're feeling right now. Just come to me, you who are heavy laden. Right? For my yoke is light. That's what God said. He invited us to carry the load that we are, you know, that we are carrying. Is too much. It's too much. My problem is too much. One time, or sometime, maybe some people said, I will put a stop on it. And they act desperately and end up nothing. But God is there to help us so that we can find mercy. And we can share mercy because we ourselves receive mercy from God. And the second point is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see mercy. Oh, for they will see God, I'm sorry. And Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It says like this. The heart is a deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The heart. The heart is always the issue after it. The heart is sick. You know, sometimes we can do things from the wrong motive. We can even go to church and make a mistake. Right? Or we can be singing there. I'm sorry. It's just my example. We can be singing there and our heart is telling us another thing. Maybe we're singing and then somebody sang a wrong note and he keeps singing it. And our heart said, ooh, who is this guy singing a wrong note? Can he just step away and not sing? Right? The heart is always there. It's sick. The heart is not pure. You know? We can show good faces, we can smile, but deep inside sometimes the sin is there, it's so deceitful, the Bible said. You know? It's so deceitful, the heart is not pure. But God said, blessed are the pure in heart. Mean to say, we can only have pure heart, okay? We can only have pure heart when we surrender our lives to Him. Ezekiel 11:19 says, God will provide a new heart for us. Remember the word circumcision? Actually, it's for cleaning. Let me just roll the notes here. It's for cleaning purposes. And one time God said, I will circumcise your heart. What is he saying? He's saying he wants to change our heart. He wants to clean our hearts. You know? That's the only meaning of it. Beyond that, no. No. He just wants to take care of your heart and my heart. He wants to give us new heart. Because God said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The only thing that we can see God is to have a pure heart. He said that. The only way we could see God is to have a pure heart. And who will give us the pure heart? God will give us a pure heart. He will cleanse our heart. He will cleanse our heart. He's the only one who can do that. Transplant can't do that. Maybe we'll have a new heart, but it's the same thing. It's still deceitful heart. You know? It beats. But God wants a pure heart. Pure heart means to say, we say to God, and God, through the Holy Spirit, will cleanse our unrighteousness and our unpureness and our sinful disease. Because if we want to see God, we want to have a pure heart. You know, when go back to the Old Testament, when they were choosing kings and everything, you know, they want to choose kings, and they chose real good-looking guys and, you know, maybe masculine guys and intelligent guys and, you know. But God told them, I don't look at the physical appearance of a person. I look at the heart. And only God can do that. Only God can see the heart. We can look at our sisters, our brothers. You know, we can say good things about him, and that's good. But only God can see our heart. That's good. That's good. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And that is kingdom light. Kingdom light is showing us. He wants us to be included in his kingdom. That's why he's telling us these things. I know it's not easy. It's not easy, but there's a way. Because God provides us the way. Okay, as we sing our invitation, God is calling you at night now. If we still not mourning with our condition, not sorry for our condition, God is calling us today to respond to his message. Because he's offering life for us. So anybody who wants to come and accept God, as we sing our invitation song, you can go in the front, or if there's something bothering you this morning and wanted to recommit yourself to God, we can pray for you, we can pray for you, and be merciful to you. Can be merciful to each other. At one time we received mercy, and we wanted to give mercy to a lot of people, especially those people who are desperately need Jesus in their
life. Thank you, Father, for those words.